Blog Talk Radio.
One, two, three.
Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone, on this Sunday evening. I'm glad to be here. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan.
Yes, it is a Sunday, September 24th, 2023. Beautiful Sunday evening. It was a beautiful day today. It wasn't too hot. Nice and breezy in the mid-70s. And we're on Season 5, Episode 35. The topic is reality, stranger than fiction. And I thought, let's go, Brandon was a dig at U.S. President Joe Biden before. Now, we all know that Brandon is a quote of vaping crack while dancing around, singing while giving a hand job in the presence of impressionable young children. Where to go to promote family values, Republicans? Every time we think the Republican Party can't stoop to the law, they always do. There's no bottom with these psychopaths. I doubt a majority of people are surprised by their shenanigans and disgraceful behavior. They thrive on debunked conspiracy theories and seem to be far from reality. Do you really want to give power to megalomaniacs who are pathologically mendacious America? What would America look like under an authoritarian government led by idiotic figure Donald Trump? More than likely, Republicans would lose the House in 2024, and Democrats are expected to retain the Senate. Democrats have walked the walk and put America first every time. The Freedom Caucus, Freedom in quotes, F-R-E-E-D-U-M-B, the Freedom Caucus has no solutions as their policies are destroying America. How do you feel about the 2024 presidential elections? Will it be a clean sweep landslide for Biden and Democrats, or will Republicans win because of cheating and using scare tactics to gaslight America? Call in. Tell us what you think. The number to call in is 515-605-9802. Say first name and where you're calling from. Turn off all background noises and don't speak over the host nor any other caller that may be online at the time. Thanks for sharing everywhere across all social media. Remember to visit our website at kitchenpolitics123.com. Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show with me, David Franklin, and Laura Picker. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. So, Laura, Vice President Kamala Harris recently You know, she went to a CBC event and was a keynote speaker. It happened almost 24 hours ago. The Congressional Black Caucus, that's what CBC stands for. It was the foundation's Phoenix Awards. And, you know, she gave this riveting speech about, you know, gun violence and why Republicans refuse to do anything about gun violence. Instead of stopping guns to be in schools, they want to stop books. Books that help people read and connect with their world that's out there today. And, you know, it's just a tragedy is what Republicans are doing now. We saw the Nazis do it in the 1930s where they banned books, they burned books, you know. So we're on the same path the Republican Party is with Nazism. Mm-hmm. You know, what's your thoughts on this whole thing? I mean, I saw bits and pieces of the speech, and I'm going to play it throughout the show, what Kamala Harris was saying, you know, but what's your take on Kamala Harris' speech at the CBC or Phoenix Awards?
Well, her speech was riveting. It was really good. I listened to the whole thing. And not only did she talk about, how racism, how, take for example, Florida, how DeSantis is trying to, you know, whitewash Black history. And she, you know, she came out all against that and said that she would not stand for that. She said she went to Florida and she made another speech about that. You know, she's an amazing speaker. The way her tone and the way she presents herself when she talks, we need to hear more from her. Because I truly believe that if we could connect with her in a different way, being that she's vice president, if we can connect with her as a communicator, I think that more people will be open to listening to her and love her even more. Yeah, she did talk about gun violence. She talked about how they want to, like you said, ban books. But not the Second Amendment, God forbid. And no one wants to take away guns. We just want sensible gun laws. And, you know, that was basically what her speech was about. She did highlight a few other things. But as you listen to it, like I said, she's a great speaker, in my opinion. The other thing, before we go to that, David, there's one thing that I wanted to mention. You know, Taylor Swift, I love Taylor Swift. She's a young Gen Zer, and she's loved by millions in this country and around the world. And she posted just recently urging her followers to register to vote. And that has led to record-breaking voter registration numbers. At least 157,041 eligible voters visited the registration site in one day, including a 115% increase in 18-year-old registrations. That is great news. All she has to do is keep talking and posting, and they will follow her because they trust her. And that's amazing. I was so happy when I said that. Now they have to follow through. Once they've registered, they have to follow through and vote. And this is what the Republican Party is afraid of. They're afraid of Gen Z and the millennials. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And she has a following like no other.
And speaking of being afraid of Gen Z, Ramaswamy, he is one of the Republicans running for the nomination in 2024. He has this absurd idea that we should change voting age from 18 years old to 21 years old, and before voting, you have to do some civic test, you know? They're doing everything in the power trying to make younger people and first-time voters and sometimes voters a bit discouraged from not going out to the polls and voting, and they could try everything under the sun. It's not going to work. They tried it since 2016 till now. It's not going to work. People are just sick and fed up of what the Republican Party stand for today, you know. And it's just a lot of creepiness that's happening in the Republican Party, from banning books, from fighting against the LGBTQ community, for the hate for immigrants. If you're a non-white and non-Christian, then, you know, you're Satan, basically. You know, so America's not for that division. You know, we're more than a melting pot. We're an ethnic salad. And as we move forward in the 21st century, you know, we're in an inclusive society. That was what made America great in the first place. And it's going to make America even greater in the coming years. And so as they try to hold on to their power, you know, like the statistics show and the Labor Department, which is nonpartisan, and other groups can look it up with a click of a mouse on Google, that by 2045, 2050, America will become a majority-minority country where, you know, now 76% of people, the majority are white people. That's going to change in the next two decades. You know, so what they're going to do when that happens, collectively, their heads will explode. You know, so Republicans need to get over themselves, because nobody is here for it, and nobody taking them seriously in terms of, you know, what they're about. You know, it's just hate, misogyny, antisocial, you know, anti-democracy behavior. They want authoritarianism, like what they have in China, like what they have in Russia and North Korea and Iran and other places. Trump, during his 4 years in office, lauded, you know, people who are authoritarian and dictators. He's just a wannabe dictator, and he's much too stupid to be a dictator. And Trump, you know, Putin has him by the balls because of whatever blackmail scheme they have against Trump, because he's such a vile, disgusting human being as a business person, you know. So it's going to be interesting how it plays in 2024. So Vice President Kamala Harris called for gun control measures at a CBC event, and I'm going to play the first 2 minutes of it. And, you know, come back and discuss, you know, what we think of what she was saying and how relevant it is today as America moves forward. Then we'll take some calls.
Good evening, CBC. Good evening, everyone. To our CBC Chair, Stephen Horsford, our CBCF Chair, Terry Sewell, I want to thank you both for your years of service to the CBC and to our nation. I also thank our leader, Hakeem Jeffries, for your outstanding leadership at this time, and of course, always Assistant Leader, Jim Clyburn. And then, of course, there is the Secretary of the Housing and Urban Development, and the former CBC Chair, the incredible Marcia Fudge. I also extend congratulations to all our Phoenix Award winners, including LL Cool J and MC Light, representing 50 years of hip-hop. And to all the members of the CBC here tonight, we have worked together on so many issues over the years, from combating maternal mortality to protecting voting rights, from eliminating lead pipes to expanding access to capital. So as a proud former CBC member, I thank you for your partnership and for your leadership. The CBC has always been a conscience of our country, a truth teller, truths about where we have been and where we must go.
Over the whole world, Rosa Parks.
Let us continue to speak truth. Across America, there is a full-on attack on many of the hard-fought, hard-won freedoms that the CBC has achieved. The freedom to vote, to teach America's full history, to address inequity and diversity, to love who you love, to access education, health care, and economic opportunity, and the freedom of a woman to make decisions about her own body. And on that last point, let us be clear. Just consider, the highest court in our land, the Court of Thurgood, just took a constitutional right that had been recognized from the people of America, from the women of America. And as a result, in state after state across our country, extremist so-called leaders passed laws to criminalize doctors and punish women, many with no exception even for rape or incest. And let us be clear, one does not have to abandon their faith or deeply held beliefs to agree the government should not be telling her what to do with her body. And so,
yes, ma'am. So that's the first highlight of the discussion and the keynote speak by Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, for the CDC Awards, the Phoenix Awards. So she touched on a woman's right to choose and how the government, through the Supreme Court, wanted to dictate what women do with their bodies. You know, that's so atrocious. Republicans are saying, oh, big government wants out of people's lives. But what's more big government than trying to dictate to a woman what she does with her body between her and her doctor? You know, even in the case of incest and rape, Republicans are against abortion or a woman's right to choose. How dare they? Well, as a woman, what is your take on that, Lori?
Well, of course, it is an attack on our rights and on a woman's right to choose. There, you know, I have no jurisdiction. I can't tell anyone else what to do with their body. You know, if someone comes to me and asks me for my opinion, I can give my opinion, but I would never, ever tell a woman that she cannot have an abortion. That is not my business. It's not my right. It's not my decision. And for the government to say that they can tell a woman that she cannot, you know, have an abortion if she feels or needs to have one is, it's beyond maddening. I can't even express how angry it makes me, because I feel as if we're going back 50 years and having to fight the same fights all over again. And it's just wrong. Women have come a long way. Women know how to take care of themselves, their families, and, you know, and if they choose to have an abortion for whatever reason, they are the ones that have to live with their decision. No one else has to live with it, just themselves and the person that maybe the father, maybe that, you know, or the boyfriend or whomever would have to maybe have something to say about it, or maybe not. So woman's right to choose is something that we should never, ever have considered taking away, ever. That is like the biggest thing. And that is something that most women that maybe do not vote are probably going to vote now, because, you know, let's say that they're, you know, above, you know, age of having children, but if they have daughters and granddaughters, they will go out and vote for their daughters and their granddaughters. Absolutely will. So they don't even know what they've got coming.
Yes, and just recently, just recently in Oklahoma, it's reported that a mother got 2 years in prison because she got access to abortion pills for her daughter, and the daughter did the abortion and everything. So Oklahoma, is putting the mother behind bars for doing that. And again, you know, what's more big government than trying to dictate what women do? And Republicans call themselves pro-life, but yet still, after the baby's born, you know, for whatever reason, maybe the mother is poor, maybe there's no father in the picture, maybe it's due to her health why she wants to make a decision and not having the baby. You know, when the baby's born, You know, you're on your own. There's no help. You want to get rid of SNAP programs. You want to get rid of things that could uplift women after having a child and everything. You know, some of this lip service that Republicans give about, oh, you know, baby, right of the child, you know, from conception, that's when life is. That's nonsense. That's total hockey pokey. And, you know, what women fight for almost 50 years ago, you know, and they overturned their Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court. It's not going to stop women from having abortion. What it's going to do is, you know, give less access to women who want safe abortions. I mean, nobody wants an abortion, but, you know, as you say, it's a woman's choice mm-hmm. between her and her doctor, and if she believes in any religion, between her deity. So we're mm-hmm. going to talk to people about, you know, Kamala Harris and her speech there and other topics relevant, you know, because is that reality is stranger than fiction, like the topic says tonight, and the Republicans live in a fantasy world of the 1930s and 1940s when, you know, everything was quote-unquote right with America. Why? Because minorities and women were basically shat upon. You know, and it was a white, conservative, Christian man who ruled the roost and everything. You know, so it's going to backfire majorly in 2024. Number to call mm-hmm. is 515-605-9802. Say your first name, where you're calling from. Have all background noises off. And we'll have a first caller from Michigan. Elaine in Michigan, hello.
Good evening. I wish somebody else beat me. Good evening,
mm-hmm.
folks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this, the family planning clinics, there is more to it than meets the eye. It's not just abortion. They just don't want women to have health care. I mean, poor women have gone to these clinics and have gotten mammogram. They caught cancer in the nick of time so that they could save the life. This woman that they just put in jail for having an abortion. Family values? Mm-hmm. Isn't she, I mean, doesn't she belong with her family?
Mm-hmm.
She
mm-hmm.
didn't hurt anybody.
No.
You know, it's just mind-boggling. And Kamala, I have a hard time pronouncing her. Kamala.
Yeah.
You have a very
mm-hmm.
good, very clear, very precise.
Yeah, I'd like to hear more from her, you know, in the future. More, she needs to be out more, you know, speaking, and they need to play more of her speeches because she is, just like you said, she's crystal clear, and she's a really good speaker. She really is. Before we go on, I just wanted to read a little bit about this Nebraska mother because I find this so appalling and offensive. So her name, the mother's name was Jessica Burgess, I'm sorry. She's 42 years old, and she pleaded guilty in July to tampering with human remains, false reporting, providing an abortion after at least 20 weeks of gestation, which is illegal in Nebraska. Madison County District Judge Mark Johnson sentenced her Friday to 1 year in prison for each count, with the first two to run concurrently. The sentence for the abortion count was ordered to run after the first two, amounting to a two-year sentence. Now, she did this for her mother, for her daughter. She ordered abortion pills online and for her daughter. It was for her daughter. It wasn't for herself. I don't understand how they found out because it doesn't really say. But it goes on to say here that her attorney, Brad Ewalt of Norfolk, sought probation, but the judge balked at that request. He said Burgess demonstrated that she knew she was breaking the state's abortion law by initially lying to the investigators about it and going to extraordinary means to obtain the pills online instead of going through a Nebraska medical provider, according to the Norfolk Daily News. And he went on to say, I shudder to think Miss Burgess, that you have such disrespect for a call at a human fetus, call a stillborn child, that you would treat it like yesterday's trash and not give it some respect in its treatment and disposal, the judge said. Our society expects more. It demands more. Burgess of Norfolk, Nebraska, admitted at her plea hearing to helping her then 17-year-old daughter end her pregnancy. As that part of the plea, charges of concealing the death of another person and an abortion by someone other than a licensed physician were dismissed. Her daughter, who is now 19, was sentenced in July to 90 days in jail and 2 years of probation for burning and burying the fetus. She was released from jail on September 11th.
Now, wait, whoa. This was 2 years ago?
That's what it said. Mm-hmm.
Isn't this government overreach? I thought they just passed the law.
Seems like I.
It's government overreach because yes, you know the mother was just found guilty of doing that and everything, and for something that happened 2 years ago, they're going to go back in, as far back when to prosecute women for having autonomy over their own bodies and everything. That's so authoritarian and Nazi-like behavior. It's like it feels like we're in an episode of Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah,
I mean, that's government overreach.
Yes, it is. And, you know, the thing is that I don't understand how they found out that she, got the pills online and, how it doesn't say in the report here how it was discovered from what I can see. I just, I'm wrong. Norfolk police opened an investigation into the abortion following a tip, according to an arrest advocate. An arrest affidavit. Police secured a search warrant to gain, Police secured a search warrant to gain access to Facebook messages between the two where prosecutors say the women discussed terminating the pregnancy and destroying the evidence. Police then found the burned fetal remains buried in a field in north of Norfolk. In one of the Facebook messages, Jessica Burgess instructing her daughter on how to take the pills to end the pregnancy, according to court records. And another, Celeste Burgess wrote, "I will finally be able to wear jeans." So that's how they found out. It was a tip from somebody else.
And then, so be careful.
Did that person get a reward?
Huh?
Did that person get a reward?
It doesn't say anything about that. But be careful what you write on Facebook. Obviously, be very careful.
All you have to do is carry your cell phone with you. If your cell phone is on, it shocked the heck out of me the other day. My cell phone went to my history by itself, and
it told me
what I've been doing for the last 30 days. It told me things that I have forgot that I was doing.
Yeah. There's a setting, Elaine, that you can go to fix that.
So when you go to the doctor, your best bet is to shut your phone off. I couldn't figure out why every time I went to the doctor, I started getting these darn, spam calls. Evidently, they're somehow they can tap into what I'm doing.
Well, they probably can.
Well, that's because of the Patriot. We'll have the Patriot Act that was enforced after the September 11th bombings or the planes going into buildings and everything, and gave government free rein to tap into any calls and what you got online when you Google, and what you watch on TV. It's just like what 1984, the book by George Orwell, say. We're living in this dystopia. And, you know, it's frightening because, you know, you expect that behavior from communist China, from North Korea, from Russia, but not the big, bad United States of America where democracy is supposed to be the thing, you know. So, mm-hmm. you know, the only way we can get rid of Republicans is if we vote them out en masse in 2024 from the federal level right down to city council. Because the Republican Party want to demonize people, especially mm-hmm. if you're not from the white race, and especially if you're not Christian. You know, do as I say, but don't do as I do, as we saw with Congresswoman Lauren Boebert when she went to that mm-hmm. play. And she used the line, oh, do you know who I am? I mean,
yeah.
It's just 1984 playing out today.
They did know who she was, and they did not care. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So let's listen to more of Kamala Harris' speech, and mm-hmm. you know we'll dissect what she was saying really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Kamala Harris is a good vice president, and you know she's given women a voice, especially women of color, and you know she's doing a great job as vice president. So here's more of the speech.
So many of us decided before the midterm to take it to the streets, to energize, to organize and mobilize. And let us remember all those pundits who predicted a red wave. Well, that didn't happen. Instead, up and down the ballot, the American people elected leaders who stand for freedom and liberty, including several new members of this very caucus. Together, the CBC is helping to lead the fight for reproductive freedom, just as you continue to lead the fight for civil rights. And I do believe the right to be safe is also a civil right. Today, however, gun violence is the number one cause of death for children in America. But instead of protecting our children, extremists obstruct. We all know the story of the Justins. Silenced microphones, expulsion from the chamber. So outrageous that the next morning I got on Air Force Two and flew down to Nashville, where I saw thousands of young leaders with the courage, determination, and moral clarity to demand action. Demanding, as we all do, red flag laws, universal background checks, and a renewal of the assault weapons ban. And CBC, please let us just take a moment to call out the hypocrisy that while we try to ban assault weapons, they try to ban books. We want to keep guns out of schools. They want to keep books out of schools. And it does not stop there. In Florida, they intend to tell our children that enslaved people benefited from slavery and then propose a debate on this point. Well, I said when I went down to Florida, there is no roundtable, no lecture, no invitation we will accept to debate an undeniable fact. There were no redeeming qualities to slavery. I have also been on a national college tour to convene our best and brightest on the importance of defending our hard-fought freedoms. And with great joy, I can report back. These young leaders are in the fight because they know it does not have to be this way. They know when Congress passes a bill to put back in place the protections of Roe v. Wade, that our president, Joe Biden, will sign it. When Congress renews the assault weapons ban, President Joe Biden will sign it. And when you pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act and the Freedom to Vote Act, Joe Biden will sign them. So I conclude with this. I believe that it is a sign of the strength of a leader to have some level of curiosity, concern, and care for the struggles of the people. That a real leader has empathy. Well, our president, Joe Biden, is such a leader. He has the courage and compassion, the skill and purpose that meet this very moment in our country, and he is ready to fight. So please join me in welcoming the President of the United States, Joe Biden.
Yes, so she spoke about civil liberties and how Republicans trying to curtail people from voting, and you know, the passage of the John Rights, John, what's his name, the passage of the Voting Rights Act, named after John Lewis, former congressman who marched with Dr. Martin Luther King back in the 1960s for African Americans to have a right to vote and everything. You know, so Republicans are on the wrong side of history. The conservatives are on the wrong side of history again. And these people never learn. It's their way or the highway. We see it time and time again. You know, so Republicans don't have a clue of what the American people want. They just want what they want and what their corporate sponsors and donors want. And to hell with everybody else. I will not allow that in America, because that allowed in Germany. We saw what happened. History teaches us that the Nazis were authoritarian and evil and just downright vindictive. And if you disagree with them, they basically murdered you. You know, from Jews and homosexuals and gypsies and whomever. If you weren't, you know, the white Aryan race, and if you weren't Aryan race, or if you weren't Christian, then, you know, they have no use for you. I don't care how that to happen in America, because, you know, out of many, we are one, and there's no way in hell that what happened in January 6, 2021 is going to happen again. It was a test run in 2021. We're going to make sure that when we go to the polls, that's not going to happen again. You know, the LBJ 1964 had a blowout landslide victory against the Republican. His name slipped at the moment, you know, and in 1980, when Ronald Reagan won, Walter Mondale, the Democrat, won just one state, you know, so we need victories like that from the Democratic Party, and, you know, from gun control to women's rights, to immigration rights, to gay rights, you know, we have to protect them. We've got to fight for these, and the Supreme Court, we're running it back, and the only way we can, you know, have a Supreme Court that speak on behalf of the people, as we expand the Supreme Court from 9 seats to 15 seats. And hopefully, God willing, when Joe Biden and Democrats win another term to control Congress and the White House, we're going to get just that. Because Americans deserve a break from Republican fascism. Yes, so, you know, moving right along. Yes, yes. Moving right along now, so the next topic on the agenda tonight, you know, you have to be living under a rock if you didn't know what was going on. U.S. Senator from New Jersey, Bob Menendez, and his wife were indicted recently on corruption and bribery charges in connection with their corrupt relationship with three New Jersey businessmen. You know, we're telling the people out there who are listening, go to the Midas Touch Network for great details. I have articles on it. And, you know, Democratic senators were reluctant to join John Fetterman, the U.S. senator from Pennsylvania, and called for Bob Menendez's resignation. And no matter who it is corruption. If you're caught red-handed, like Bob Menendez was, a Democrat from New Jersey, then you should stand trial. You should do the right thing and resign from the United States Senate and face the consequences of your actions. You know, whether you're Democrat, Republican, or independent, America deserves better than, you know, what's going on now with the corruption. You know, and you know, what's your thoughts on it, Lori, and then Elaine?
Well, you know, my thoughts are, yes, he should step down. You know, what he did was definitely criminal. Courts will decide, of course. And then we have Santos in New York that's still in his seat. You know, this is the Republican Party does not ask him to step down. You know, Democrats have voiced their opinion and think that, you know, Bob Menendez should step down. And that's the difference right there. The difference is very clear. You know, Santos is still in office, and he definitely doesn't belong there. And, you know, it's a shame what Bob Menendez got involved in. And obviously money just turns people into greedy monsters. And it says per the indictment, it says over $480,000 in cash, much of it stuffed into envelopes and hidden in closets, and a safe was discovered in the home. Some of the envelopes contain the fingerprints and or DNA of co-defendant making alleged bribes. The indictment alleges Mendez provided sensitive U.S. government information and took the other steps that secretly aided the government of Egypt and was bribed with gold bars, which were found in his home.
Wow.
His wife was indicted on corruption and bribery charges in connection with their corrupt relationship with three New Jersey businessmen. So, you know, you play with fire, you're going to get burned. I mean, especially when you're in office like that. You have no business doing that sort of thing. So now the question will be, what's going to happen to his seat? And that's the next thing. So we shall see.
Yeah, if he does resign, which is the right thing to do, the Democratic governor of New Jersey will appoint his successor. More than likely, it's going to be a Democrat. And we all know that there are 32 seats in the U.S. Senate that are up for grabs. And according to projections, you know, and polls, you know, I know we can't really depend on polls, but polls saying that Democrats will have a stronger majority than they do now. But with Bob Menendez doing what he did, then that may put it in jeopardy, you know. And I have a lot of Democrats for asking Menendez to step down as Foreign Relations Committee chairman, but a step further has to go forward in terms of him resigning from the United States Senate, because, you know, make an example of him. Because what happened is Al Franken did what he did. It was a rehearsed skit, and the Democrats came down on him, ran down on him like nothing. Kirsten Gillibrand from New York.
They crucified him.
Yes. And so something that's worse than what Bob Menendez did compared to Al Franken.
Yeah.
You know, just deserve a resignation and hell and brimstone come with it. But no, of course, Democrats, and oh, no, we have a majority. You know, the whole double standard hypocrisy will call out. Whether it's a Democrat or Republican, we'll have to stop it because America deserves better. Elaine, what's your take on this thing?
Well, I'm gonna put it to the listening audience this way. If I were a Republican, I would say, yeah, I know he's guilty, but I don't care. But I am a liberal Democrat, and I speak for thousands of liberal Democrats. The man is guilty. He needs to step down, and he not only needs to step down, he needs to be prosecuted, him and all his cohorts. And if it's his wife, too bad.
Yep. I agree.
So and then, I think that us liberals, we're the ones with the family values.
Oh, of course we are. Absolutely. There's no doubt. They have everything turned around and twisted. And that's on purpose. We know that. You know, libtards and everything else. Well, we're a lot smarter than a lot of the Republicans and the MAGAs, for sure. So there is someone that may be running against Menendez as he unravels. So Andy Kim will run against him. As Bob Menendez is facing a jamming federal indictment, urgent calls to resign, and now a challenge for the Democratic nomination from a rising star in his party. On Saturday, Rep. Andy Kim, a Democrat from New Jersey, announced he would run against Menendez instantly, presenting the most serious electoral threat to the senator in a long and powerful career in Washington. It is a vivid sign that the foundation of Menendez's political power is disintegrating. The aura of fear around him that has deterred challengers and silenced critics in the past has already faded and may soon be gone. The 41-year-old Kim is a third-term member of Congress with a background in national security. He has a relatively limited profile in New Jersey, but has been a prolific fundraiser and has won several tough races in the battleground district. He may not be the last member of the state's House delegation to take on Menendez directly. New Jersey has a handful of potential successors in the wings, and the state party leaders are still trying to figure out how to deal with explosive allegations while Menendez remains defiant.
So who's Andy Kim? Andy Kim basically is a politician who represents the 3rd Congressional District in New Jersey. And the district encompasses Philadelphia's eastern suburbs and southern and central New Jersey. Kim is the first Democratic member of Congress of Korean descent and the second overall after Jay Kim, which is no relation to him. And in 2024, as you said, the Senate elections in New Jersey, indictment against Bob Menendez, the incumbent, Kim announced his intention of running for the Democratic primary on September 23rd, 2023, which was yesterday, may I add. And Kim was born of Korean immigrant parents in 1982 in Boston, and he was raised in Marlton County in Evansham Township in New Jersey and attended Rice Elementary School before moving to Cherry Hill and graduating from Cherry Hill High School in 2000. And after years of Deep Spring College, Kim transferred to the University of Chicago, where he graduated Phi Beta Kappa in 2004 with a degree in political science. So Andy Kim got what it takes to be a good U.S. Senator and everything. And he was an intern for the United States Agency for International Development, the USAID. He later received a Rhodes Scholarship and a Harris Truman Scholarship to study international relations at Magdalena College in Oxford. And at Oxford, Kim became friends with fellow Rhodes Scholar Pete Buttigieg, the current Secretary of Transport. And Kim worked at the U.S. State Department. He served in Afghanistan as a civilian advisor to Generals David Petraeus and John Allen. Before working as a national security advisor under President Obama, Kim served in the United States National Security Council office. And he ran in 2018 for the U.S. House of Representatives, District 3, which is leaning Republican. And New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy endorsed both him and Barack Obama in 2018. New Jersey Governor and actress Piper Perabo endorsed Kim. Kim said that he was inspired to run in reaction to MacArthur's efforts to repeal the Affordable Care Act. MacArthur is a Republican who ran against him and was expected to win a seat because it leans Republican so heavily. And during the campaign, MacArthur sought to portray Kim as a D.C. enlistee and outsider. So the New Jersey Republican Party, Kim was described as a real fishy in the wanton font of the picture of a dead fish. So the Republican Party ran a racist ad against him, and it backfired on him big time. And the race was considered too close to call on election night. But for the next night, an influx of absentee ballots in Burlington County, which is part of District 3 in New Jersey, home the majority of district voters, gave Kim a 2,500 vote lead, prompting him to declare victory. So that's how he came about. And in 2020 elections and subsequent elections thereafter, he won by, 2% or a little bit over 2%. And his tenure, is basically turning a red district into a purple district. And, like I say, he's an outsider, basically. And you know, he's not corrupt like Bob Menendez. And, you know, he is the man who, you know, he served in the Armed Services Committee of the U.S. House, Subcommittee on Intelligence, Emerging Threats and Capabilities, Subcommittee on Readiness. He's a vice chair of the current Small Business Committee in the House. He is on a Committee of Foreign Affairs. He's a ranking member, you know, and he has a caucus membership in the Congressional Progressive Caucus, Congressional Asian Pacific American Caucus, and Future Forum. You know, so, you know, he has generated since 2018 to now experience in a vast array of issues that affect his district, and also, you know, looking like a different American than the typical white, you know, person. He represents all members of his district, whether you're Korean or Asian or black or white. You know, he knows how to unite people. And Congressman Kim, to me, would make an excellent U.S. senator, because Bob Menendez, I've known this guy for years. And when I first came to the United States in New Jersey when I went to college, I volunteered for his campaign on Bob Torricelli, the former governor. And Bob Torricelli was convicted of fraud and wire fraud and all sorts of things because he worked with the Italian American mafia. And Torricelli was found guilty and sent to prison. I don't know if he's still there or he died in prison. I have to look that up. But, you know, New Jersey politics has been dirty for a while, whether it's a Democrat or Republican. And I think an example should be made of Congressman Bob Menendez, because from way back when, you know, he has had some shady things going on, you know, and it's coming to fruition now where, you know, he's taking bribes and they have the evidence on him. So we can't afford Republicans to win this seat, because New Jersey is a solid blue state. And with this, you know, it has jeopardized the Democrats in the 2024 elections. You know, so,
you know, and he's also rejected calls from his own state and party to step down. You know, and he's and he's quoted saying, "I'm not going anywhere." He said that on Friday. So I don't know. Can they make him step down? I don't know. But
well, they could censor him. They could censor him. They could censor him. You know, and
But I mean, he should.
But anyway,
there's no reason for him to stay.
Yeah, that's the right thing to do. Step down and stop making yourself look bad, and New Jersey look bad, and Democrats.
Yeah.
You know. And you know, on the same light, on the same wavelength, George Santos should do the same thing because he's just as bad and probably even worse than Bob Menendez. You know, his whole record is a lie. He ran on a lie. He won. He stole people's money. He lied about his parents, his mother. You know, how many times can his mother die? 6, 7, 8 times?
I know.
When the Republican Party talking about the lack of integrity by Democrats, Kettle calling the pot black is so ridiculous and so hypocritical and so garbage, you know, that should be laughed at across the country.
And, you know,
I'm sure people are laughing at them.
And the thing is George Santos, you know, had no experience. I don't know how he got elected, where he came from, but I'm just saying, just out of the blue, and he has no experience, and he's just there. It's just mind-blowing. And he won't step down. And, of course, like you said, the Republican Party won't ask him to step down. They absolutely will not, because they are not the party that has a conscience at all. They don't have a conscience. They don't care. You know, they do not care.
Yeah, and the reason why I don't want George Santos to step down is because it messes with their congressional majority. And George Santos, he represents New York's 3rd Congressional District. He's been indicted, just like how Bob Menendez was. He made a plea bargain, and criminal charges include 13 felonies, 7 counts of wire fraud, 3 counts of money laundering, 1 count of theft of public funds, 2 counts of making materially false statement to the House of Representatives. Mm-hmm. He lied to the FBI. He's wanted in Brazil for check fraud. You know, so, mm-hmm. I mean, he's probably worse than Bob Menendez or in the same category. So Republicans should shut their mouths and stop mm-hmm. criticizing Democrats for mm-hmm. still having, you know, Senator Menendez in there, because they're mm-hmm. worse. They have far worse people. And I say, as Elaine and other people who, you know, spoke on Facebook, said fraud is fraud and thievery is thievery, and it should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, whoever. Nobody's above the law.
Absolutely not. Anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
start the fire, let it burn, you're going to burn yourself. That's all there is to it.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
I mean, no,
yeah.
Everyone runs out.
Mm-hmm.
All there is to that.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead and then. No, go ahead and then.
While we're on the subject about going after these people, isn't it strange that Trump wanted to eliminate all of these agencies that go after people? He was saying
mm-hmm.
it was too much government.
Oh, yeah.
So,
absolutely.
I mean, you know, when somebody wants to be a dictator, what do? They eliminate the checks mm-hmm. and balances.
Yeah. That's
so,
for sure.
You know, the independent voter, you better wake up. You
yeah.
better wake up, because the plan is there. We have to
mm-hmm.
destroy the plan, and the only way we're going to destroy the plan is you're going to have to vote blue. And if you've been voting red, hold your nose and vote blue.
It's
I've held my nose and voted red when I knew there was a Democrat that was corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hold your nose and vote blue.
Well,
and get the country back to where it's supposed to be. And then you can work
mm-hmm.
on your real Republican Party and get it back to where it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
now that you brought up, you know, independent voters, you know, or if you're just on the fence, if you're just, you know, on the fence, Biden is 80 and, you know, Trump has been indicted 90-some times and, you know, twice impeached. You know, and this is a time to be a one-issue voter. And the only thing that you really need to vote for is our democracy this time. Think about that for a moment. Just vote for keeping our democracy. And by doing that, you will vote blue, and we will keep our democracy. That's the only thing. If you don't believe in anything else, if you hate Democrats, you hate everything else, only vote for this one thing, to keep our democracy in our country. That's the most important thing that we can do when we vote in the next election.
And quit picking on us.
Indeed.
We know that Mendez is guilty, and we want him put away.
Mm-hmm.
So we
mm-hmm.
aren't the evil character that the mega people keep trying to portray us.
Yep.
We're for
mm-hmm.
law and order, no matter who it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, and when when Republicans speak, most of the time, you know, they are talking lies. I mean, they don't tell truth. You know, if
mm-hmm.
if they're saying it's black, it's really white. So I don't even listen anymore. There's nothing to listen to. You know,
they're just bullshit liars, all of them, a majority of them. You know.
Yeah.
And if there's no moderate who remains in the Republican Party, because I, for one point, thought that Susan Collins, the Republican senator from Maine, was as moderate as it gets. But you talk one way and then vote along party lines, like Lisa Murkowski
mm-hmm.
from Alaska. Both of these Republican women, they're not conservatives, but they're moderates, or so they say. You know, and we can give examples through our wazoo of how the Republican Party lie and cheat and manipulate
mm-hmm.
and twist words and have this well-oiled machine of, you know, bending the truth and muddying the waters and everything. And I think people waking up and have woken up to the
mm-hmm.
Republican hypocrisy and double speak, and they're sick of that. They want people in there in the Congress, whether U.S. Senate or House, to do the bidding of the people who elected them, or not these corporations who write these bills, and these politicians who vote on these bills, most times don't read what these bills are about, because they're main financial benefactors who are the ones who wrote these laws. You know, so mm-hmm. we need accountability. We need some respect back in Congress, and we're going to get it after 2024, hopefully, when Democrats get a majority in both the Senate and the House, and Joe Biden is reelected. So the number to call is 515-605-9802. Say your first name, where you're calling from. Turn off all background noises, and don't speak over the host or anybody else who, you know, is sharing the line with us. And a special shout-out to Lou Rastelli, you know, hope mm-hmm. he's better soon, sir. He has COPD, and, you know, just hang in there. You know, you'll get better soon, Lou.
And
Lou
the other thing is, mm-hmm. is that it's Susan who calls in all the time, or just about every week, Susie. That is
hey.
Her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Hi there, Susie. And we just want to wish him a happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. I'll
mm-hmm.
tell him. He got had a bunch of phone calls, even from Italy and France today. So.
Oh,
oh nice.
His
nice.
Sister's called
good.
In and everything. Yeah. He's
yeah.
hanging in.
Happy
we got more stuff to do, but he had a big tiramisu, so he did good.
I know. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, talk about crazies. Because I lost my connection down here in my basement, so I was
oh,
watching
mm-hmm.
part of Anderson Cooper's program, Waiting for JFK, A Report from the French. This is scary stuff. They had, you know, the QAnon people who believe
mm-hmm.
that this conspiracy theory that JFK and JFK Jr. are still alive and are descendants
mm-hmm.
from Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
and I mean, they have a proof
time.
And they believe this. And you know, they're the Trumpers. And I'm going, you
yeah.
really? How old would JFK be if he was alive?
I know.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
I mean, you know, these people are brainwashed. They had a psychiatrist on there and everything, and,
yeah.
you know, it's like a cult, but that's also what's happening with the Trumpers. You can't talk to them. They don't reason. They just
mm-hmm.
– and they were going with every letter has a number – and so
mm-hmm.
when they did the numbers of JFK and his son, it came out to Jesus Christ or something. I don't know, but it's really Looney Tunes. And these people believe
laugh.
This stuff.
I mean, you have to laugh. I mean,
I know.
How brainwashed
their families
have to be,
disown
how
these
illiterate.
People. This woman went to one Trump rally, and her husband said, yeah, fine. And then she kept on going and kept on going and never came back on one. A mother lost her son because he was so crazy with this group and everything. And they have major mental
yeah.
problems, but they're
yeah.
in these cults, and they lost their mind. How can you fight
yeah.
that?
I don't
well,
know.
The
my question,
chose
my,
the Kennedys, at least they chose some Democrats.
yeah.
They're Democrats,
what
too, right?
Later.
Yeah,
the
they chose some Democrats.
Hold on, but later. Uh-huh. Hold on. But my question is, why is CNN giving airtime to QAnon to show how ridiculous
they
are?
No, they're showing how
what?
These crazy people believe this crap. They're trying to say
uh-huh.
they're mentally ill is what they're pulling. And this is why things are going crazy with these MAGAs and these
mm-hmm.
people that believe the JFK thing, that they're still alive. And it's not doesn't make
mm-hmm.
sense. You can't reason with them. And that's what we're facing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how do you deal with these nuts?
Speaking of crazy, Robert Kennedy Jr., RFK Jr., you know, his candidacy, I'm surprised that in the polls, he's polling 15% in some places, you know?
Really? Oh, that's
people
another one. His whole family doesn't like him.
Yeah,
yeah,
people don't read. I guess the name Kennedy is nostalgic. You know, RFK,
mm-hmm.
JFK, Teddy Kennedy, you know, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Which is all well and good, but, you know, as people stop reading are trying to do, you know, their own background check on people who don't want to vote for or what to stand for and everything. It's all well and good a candidate is running, but not Bobby Kennedy Jr. Oh, my God. This man is a kook.
No.
I'm sorry. If you're listening out there and you're a fan of his, the man
it's
is crazy.
It's probably those QAnon people that believe his brother is still alive.
I don't know if the drugs fried his brain, you know, but the conspiracy theories that he promotes and pushes is so goddamn ridiculous and debunked over and over again. I don't know why anybody would take Robert F. Kennedy Jr. seriously. As he said, his own family turned against him and mocked him in his presidential campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination in 2024. You know, so imagine, God forbid, if Joe Biden dropped down dead tomorrow, Joe Biden dropped down dead tomorrow and Kamala Harris becomes a nominee, or, God forbid, RFK Jr. Becomes the Democratic nominee, what will America turn in like a year from after the presidential elections? Go ahead, Lori.
More insane than it is right now. The only thing I was going to say is I had a little conversation with someone that was kept on sending me information on RFK Jr., and she was anti-vax when all the COVID thing went on and thought that that was a conspiracy theory or whatever she was thinking. I don't know. But he is anti-vax, supposedly, and that was her connection with him. And, you know, I kept telling her, you know, his own family doesn't want him to run. His own family thinks he's a kook. She doesn't care. The connection that she made with him was that he didn't like the COVID vaccine and was against it, and that was the connection that she made with him, and that was it. There was no talking to her after that. None whatsoever. I guess my analogy is for the Trump goofballs, it's the same thing. It's something that they connect with. It's a word or a phrase or let's make America better again, something. But they connect with it, and, you know, in their little...
It's like a cult.
Yes.
It's like a cult.
I don't know how else to explain
like
it.
Like the Trumpers, those Kennedy people, the anti-vaxxers. You cannot reason with them. You can show them information and, you know, statistics. They don't believe it. They just believe what they want to believe. It's like this is our group and I'm with them, you know, the holy rollers and all that stuff. It's just insane, but it's spreading because of the internet. They just get sucked in, you know, and they believe what they see on the screen. Like my little old grandma used to believe the FBI shows on TV. Grandma, no, this is fiction, you know. They don't believe that, you know, they believe that bullshit, and you can't talk them out of it, and it's scary as hell.
Yeah, no. You know, and I consider, you know, this friend, I consider her to be very intelligent, but when it came to that, there was no talking to her. That was her connection. So I guess that's what I'm trying to explain, that they find a little something that they can feel comfortable with and they go with it, and it's insanity. You know, it
I just recently experienced this with a person that I've known for probably 15 years. I call it a short circuit somewhere. She's always been strange. She's always had people that have been following her. Nobody follows her. She claimed her house was full of mold, but her house has got somebody else living in it, and they're perfectly fine. And she recently looked me up, and I thought, oh, well, she's strange. Maybe she needs a friend. And she got absolutely crazy with me because I wouldn't agree with her when she said to me that Trump gave that stupid speech that Biden was starting World War III. And I texted her back and I said, no, it's World War II and you're wrong. And I have to, you know, I just plain have to cut ties with her. I can't take it.
Yeah. No, you can't. And there's no arguing. Yeah, there's no, there's, you just have to come to a point and where you say, okay, whatever. Because
there is a short circuit. If you stop and analyze some of these people, there is a short circuit somewhere.
Yeah, there's something.
And they just aren't operating on all cylinders, or they're six bottles short of a six-pack, whatever analogy you want to give them. They're just not operating correctly.
Yeah, we'll have another call. I think this is a first-time call from San Bernardino, California, 909 error code. Remember, 515-605-9802, say your first name, where you're calling from. And let's get this caller in. Hello, caller from California. Welcome to the show. What's cooking tonight? You're live on air, caller, 909 error code.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you. My name is Suzette, and I'm calling from Southern California, and a first-time caller.
Oh,
welcome,
Yvette.
We
love that.
Oh, thank you. I hope you're all having a good evening tonight. If I may, I just have a couple of questions.
Sure.
So when you talked about, the Trumpers and Republicans going crazy, and that was a result of the QAnon and that type of talk, I didn't see the connection that was made between why the things are going crazy and what things are going crazy. I just want to know, like, what things were going crazy as a result of QAnon and those, what do you call them, Trump mega people?
You want to know what is going crazy? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, just a little, you know, just if you could give me one or two things, because, you know, when I talk to people, I like to have specifics so I can look them up and then, use them as an argument. So usually the people will ask me what things, like my husband does that, you know, if I tell him things like that. And he's like, well, what things?
Mm-hmm.
Well, everything. There's stuff that's going on.
And Yvette, a perfect example, Yvette, is believing that JFK Jr. is alive and whoever Trump's running mate in 2024, you know, last year. You know, that gathered to say, oh, the big revelation that JFK Jr. is alive and well, and he's going to be here. Thousands of people showed up. You know, I mean, if that's not crazy, what is crazy? You know, the whole anti-vax stance, where professionals who dedicate their lives and went to school for years studying, you know, diseases and how to cure them and what have you, you know, and they're listening to non-professionals in the medical field, you know, taking horse pills. I mean, there's so many different examples to show that the Republican Party is off course and the cult of Trumpism has taken over their party. You know, it's just aggravating. It's annoying. The whole deworming thing. Go ahead.
You mentioned just a second ago as far as the result of crazy that they believe about RFK coming back, his uncle coming back to life and all of that. Of course, that sounds crazy, and it is crazy to think that could even happen. But I don't see how that is a threat to our democracy. We have more important issues, you know, like the government shutdown to talk about, you know, which being held up by the Republicans, rather than the Republicans are crazy because they believe that, you know, JFK is going to come back, you know, stuff like that. I also like to get to the root of, but I understand RFK is not an anti-vaxxer. In fact, he had his kids vaccinated for school. It was just this particular vaccine that he had an issue with. But, I'm sorry, go ahead.
When you talk about it's funny that you mentioned the government shutdown, the threat of the government shutdown. I was going to mention that. The thing is that the budget that they're now balking at is the budget that they agreed on previously. So now they don't want it anymore, and they want to change it. Who knows what they want? I don't really know what they want, because McCarthy has not really come out and said what they want. So he is being, how do you put it? He is being made into a puppet, because if you remember, it took 15 different tries for him to become speaker. So he had to make deals with certain people. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. And he's the type of guy that goes with the wind blows. Whoever's talking, him, he'll go there, and then he'll change it. Yep.
Right. So he keeps going back and forth between Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz. And he keeps on going back and forth with them because they keep demanding things that are not reasonable or can't happen. So we're wasting time, energy, and money, and we're just a dysfunctional government right now. We're not getting anything done. They have meetings about urinating in New York in public. You know, Boebert was talking about that. I mean, how ridiculous is that? there's so many different things that if you think about it, it's insane. And
are insane. I would agree there totally as far as the things that are crazy going on. But these other things, that were just mentioned, shouldn't be the air on, I think, because Republicans, just as far as informing the American public about what's going on, because they think that McCarthy is going to save the Republican Party somehow, and it's like, well, he's not supposed to be about saving the Republican Party. They're all supposed to be there for the United States, Democrat, Republican, whatever, and rather than choosing parties to do things for, in their states.
Absolutely.
And McCarthy is going to overplay his hand because he wants to get Democrats to kneel, to his demands. But it's like, dude, you can't play this game because eventually it's going to bite you in the butt. You don't have very much leverage as it is because look at what it took to get you to get that speakership. So you're going to lose people by trying to be Mr. Tough Guy, and you're putting the country in danger. So you need to get your act together and figure out what your priorities are and whether you're for country or for party or for where the wind blows. We've got special interest groups that he needs to ignore and just listen to the people.
Now, do you think that the Republican Party has taken a turn for the worse, in your opinion, Yvette?
I think the Republican Party for a long time have done nothing. They deliver lip service. They have no action. And because of that, people are losing their confidence. Now, we know that there are liars and corruption on both sides of the parties, on both sides of the
party. Of course.
And that's just the way it is. And so when they give the polls as far as the ratings for Congress, it's Congress because people are saying both parties, have issues. But there are the few that are working for constituents, and they get outshined and outspoken by people like Lauren Boebert. And what's that other blonde's name?
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah. That do stupid things and then draw, makes their ranking even go lower as far as the Republican Party goes. Nobody's playing smart right now. And Democrats right now seem like all they're doing is just pointing the finger at Republicans, saying, look at what they're doing. Oh, look at how disgusting this person is, or how could this person do this? So they're not really doing much either. Republicans have the House, but only by a small margin, just a small margin. And so, they could actually affect some of the Republicans that are on the fence, so to speak, with Speaker McCarthy's policies and stuff, but they could go either way, either with McCarthy or against it. So I think if Democrats would focus on making a good argument to McCarthy, that they could actually swing some of those Republican votes over to the Democrat for policy and you know, regulations and stuff and funding the government. But, you know, so they're no better than the Republicans. Republicans are just known for not doing nothing, period, and just talking a good game. Well, we're going to do this. Oh, we're going to do that. And they're going to nothing.
They really have not said what they're going to do. The only thing that they have done is really destroy our democracy. I mean, think about everything that's happened, you know, taking away, you know, abortion rights, and they're trying to take away voting rights, and, you know, they claim that there is no climate change. I mean, the list is long. The list is long. And so as if you're serving as a Democrat, you have to constantly debunk all of this. I mean, I've watched Pete Buttigieg for the last couple of days. He's been on a lot of interviews, and that's all he does. You know, he's a transportation secretary, but he is debunking everything constantly because they're constantly asking them questions, you know, and they have to prove that they are doing the right thing. Like, and I think Pete Buttigieg is a really good transportation secretary. I think he's done a lot, and he's really intelligent and articulate, but he's always defending himself, it seems. And that's part of the problem right now. And the media is involved in that too sometimes. David, what do you think?
What was that? Was it this thing that Secretary Buttigieg done? Secretary of Transportation Buttigieg? What has he done? You said he's done a lot.
He is a transportation secretary.
Right.
He's a transportation.
So I'm
he
just wondering what he's
secretary.
Done. Of course, yes. I acknowledge that.
Pete Buttigieg is also setting up an entire mass transit thing, like the trains they have in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
That just you can go from city to city in a couple of hours. Boom, boom, boom.
Mm-hmm.
We have nothing. Our train abilities and stuff have not progressed from the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after World War II, we've got nothing. They've got trains in Japan that could take you clear across the country in 2.5 hours. Yeah, the bullet trains and stuff that we just don't have that here because we've never bothered to put any money, because Americans have this, just like they have this attachment to their guns, they have this idea that if they can't drive themselves, then it isn't worth going. And we just have some real backwards ideas, and he's trying to get us into the real world. And doing a great job, I think.
No, he is doing a great job.
Well, I understand that.
President.
Okay. I'm just trying to I guess you could say play devil's advocate. So if he, I just want to know what he's done up to date, because the future is in the future, and he may not even be in that position long enough to do anything.
He also has worked with the airlines because there were so many, I don't know if you remember, there were so many people in the airport. They couldn't get on the airplanes. They were, you know, waiting hours to get in. So he went through and he helped set up a system where things are moving a lot better, even with the air traffic controllers and all of that. So he has been all over the country. I've been following him because I really admire him. So he's been all over the country just trying to talk. And, you know, like she said, you know, the bullet trains in Europe, I mean, you get on a train, you can go anywhere. You don't need a car. You do not need a car in Europe. You can get on a train and you can just go from, you know, go get off your airplane and get off the, you know, your plane at the airport and go from where you land, you can go to Rome. I mean, it's just, that's how it is there. And here we can't do that. We can't do that here. And we are behind. We're so behind other countries. We really are.
Agreed.
So he's trying to move us forward.
Just devil advocate. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay.
So,
Yvette,
question. You're in California. You know, there is a homeless crisis in California. Do you think Governor Gavin Newsom is doing enough to alleviate that problem? What's your views on California and the politics in California?
No, I don't think he's doing enough, or I don't think that Congress is doing enough right things, because basically the governor and the president sign what comes across their desk from Congress, you know, so he can influence Congress as far as what he would like to see done, and then they can put up a bill and then he'll sign it or not sign it. So I don't hold him totally responsible for the problem, but overall, they just want to throw money at it, and rather than find property that's, you know, decently priced, so this way you can actually build something decent for the homeless, you know, should they want to, you know, move in to these places, little houses, like tiny houses, I think they call them. You know, he purchases expensive land on a beach, you know, at Manhattan Beach. And so only, I think it was like 32 units that could be built. That's it. When you can buy more land and build more units, and also if you don't want to build more units, at least use that money for programs for families that want to get back on their feet, that are looking for that hand up and not hand out, you know, because you have people that actually like being on the streets, believe it or not. You know, they've been interviewed. They don't want any rules or, you know, to live by anybody else's, you know, telling them what to do. And they prefer to live on the street. And then, so there's nothing you can do about them. But the other ones that just want a little help so they can get a job, so they can have some place to shower and, you know, make some food so they can get to work or go get a job. And that's all they're looking for, because right now they're living out of their car or something, doing the best they can. Those are the people that need the programs in order to get that hand up. But there are nothing. We have nothing. It's just build, 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 and then throw them in there, and then they're watched and have all these rules to live by, and most of them end up leaving because, you know, they're what am I going to do with this? I can't keep
up.
You know,
think about if you're homeless and getting a job, you know, it's hard to even apply because now everything is done via via computer. And, you know, for a homeless person to get a hold of a computer, you know, maybe you can go into a library, but if you don't have a library card, you're not going to be able to go in there, you know.
Right.
So I guess the system is really not set up in a way to help homeless people. And a lot of the homeless people also had maybe prior drug problems, drinking problems, mentally ill, sick. I mean, there's all kinds of people on the streets. And like you said, there are some people on the streets that don't want to be on the streets. I don't understand why. I could never understand why. But that is what I have been told in the past as well. So we have to maybe take a different approach to helping the homeless. I personally don't know what the solution is, but maybe it's got to be taken city by city somehow and
have a pilot program for a city.
Yeah,
you know.
Some sort of a pilot program to, you know, help them get cleaned up, help, you know, give them nutrition for a while. I mean, can you
imagine? Have it go over like 5 or 10 years and follow these people to see how many had ended up successfully integrating back into society and how many ended up falling back, you know, to their to their old ways. But you know what? Oregon has a program that they're working on getting started. I cannot remember the name of it, but it's a comprehensive program. It's a facility that covers everything from drug addiction to not having skills for jobs to applying for jobs, providing everything that these people need in order to actually get back on their feet, starting from, you know, ground to zero. Yeah.
Yes.
And I wish I knew the name of it. And I'm anxious to see
how
it turns out because they have so much of the right stuff, you know, included in it. So,
something like that.
Some of those people got homeless because of a grave illness in a family, you know, or they lost their job or their car died. And who can afford a new car? And especially in California, property is expensive. You guys got the way worse than we do, rentals, you know. I know up here is vacation land and everybody wants short-term rentals. They're having trouble finding homes and apartments for teachers and nurses, and we're so short on both. I mean, there's got to be something for those people, you know.
Yeah.
And yet they can't. Yeah. We can't get them to come here because there's no place for them to live. You got these big ass houses and hotels and everything like that, but they're not housing for workers. And that's another thing.
Yeah, not reasonably priced. Not reasonably priced.
And we chased a lot of our landlords out that had reasonable price properties. There was a number of them that left California or just got out of the business of renting because of all the new taxes and everything that were applied to being a landlord. And so they just not worth it, not worth it. And so then you have the ones that did stick around that are raising rents that families can't afford because there is no living wage in California, you know, a decent living wage. We're just barely making it ourselves, and thank goodness it's just the two of us, and our children are grown. But, you know, I have no idea how families are making it today. I really don't.
I know, with gas prices, heating prices, LP gas and all that.
Yeah,
mortgages are going nuts, and car prices are ridiculous.
And you're paying over $5 a gallon for gas just to get to work? I mean, holy moly.
And then you're making 17 bucks an hour, so, I mean, if you're lucky.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to
thank you so much for calling.
Come on.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can call back.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can call back anytime, Yvette. We're on Sundays and Mondays at 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and we're going to expand maybe to Wednesday or Thursday, maybe both days, who knows.
Cool.
But you know thank you for calling and really appreciate it and your contribution.
Thank you so much.
I'll keep listening online. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Yes man, that was Yvette. She's calling from Southern California. And she had a lot to say in terms of you know, how California is running. And, you know, she had an input on you know, the topic of tonight where, you know, Republicans are not doing anything and both parties have their faults. And it's duly noted, you know. So thank you for the contribution, Yvette. We would love to hear from you again.
Yep.
Okay, so the next thing is UAW strike. It's in the 10th day, UAW strike. And we'll have a report here from... Is it CBS? It's Channel 4 in Michigan. I don't know if that's CBS or NBC.
It's NBC.
Local affiliate.
NBC.
It's NBC. NBC. Yes. And, you know, the report on the workers striking and everything. And here is the clip.
The last day of the auto show, which coincides with day 10 of the UAW strike.
After expanding to 38 parts and distribution centers owned by GM and Stellantis, customers could now soon feel the ripple effects of this strike. Kim DiGiulio is live at the Sherwood Parts and Distribution Center in Warren. Kim, some big names joined the picket lines yesterday.
That's right, and now we are in day 10 of the picket lines here, and you can see that they are still going at it. It is very early this Sunday morning. Normally you think of Sunday morning, a very quiet morning, but they're out here. The people driving by are honking, and they are very much picketing for what they believe in, and you can hear them. They're saying, no contracts, no parts.
This is day 10 on the picket line, including the 38 GM and Stellantis plants added to the strike on Friday.
We were disappointed that they didn't call us out last week. But when we got the news, the membership was excited. We couldn't wait to get out.
At Pontiac's GM plant, this UAW member says getting rid of their tier system is a sticking point, frustrated with wage disparities on the line.
We come in here to earn a fair day's wage for a fair day's job. And when you have a man working just as hard as you are, and they're not working for that same wage, they can't afford the same things that you can afford, and you tell them that this is a great company, it's been good to me and my family, and they get disheartened when they don't see that same reciprocated towards them.
We are the union.
The NAACP also joining the fight.
We will fight until we win.
The Detroit chapter president calling it a historic demonstration of unity.
It's a beautiful Saturday afternoon. What am I doing out here picketing in front of a plant? We want to be working. Let's come to the table. Let's have a fair proposal on the table.
Now, this is at the Sherwood Mopar Distribution Center, and you can see that they're very passionate about the no contract, no parts. And so we actually did hear from Governor Gretchen Whitmer yesterday, and she was reminding everyone on social media to renew their membership. She said that the members deserve fair wages and good benefits, but she also never mentioned the strike in her social media post. So we're going to stay here all morning, continuing to cover the picket lines, but we are in Warren this morning, and again, and we're on day 10 of the UAW strikes. Guys, back to you in the studio.
All right, thank you so much, Ken.
Don't scroll away.
Yes, yeah, so that was Channel 4 NBC affiliate in Detroit, Michigan, updating us on the UAW strike and how Governor Whitmer is giving support to this cause of the strike. The need wage, you know, a wage increase because we're having a terrible inflation, worldwide inflation. And you can't ask people to sacrifice to save the auto industry. And then years later on, you have the CEOs making millions of dollars where they're making peanuts. It's not fair. It's not right. They sacrifice to show some gratitude to what they sacrifice and give them a raise of pay.
Mm-hmm. I think the yes, it is. You're right, David. The UAW president, Sean Fain, his sticking point, and I agree with his sticking point, because if they can give the CEOs of the, you know, the big three of the automakers, if they can give the 40% raises over the past 4 years, and they haven't given them their workers anything, and they're making billions of dollars in profits. What is the problem here? Now, Ford is coming pretty close to making to striking a deal with the UAW. They're coming pretty close. Ford is. But Stellantis and GM, they're nowhere near. And I don't understand why. It really makes no sense. And the tier thing, you're absolutely right. Who wants – I mean – can you imagine working next to somebody and because you've been there longer or less, you're making more or less money and you're doing the exact same job? And the person that's making less, do they want to do a good job? No, because they know the other person's making a lot more money than them. You know, a lot of them don't have pensions anymore like they used to. Back in the day, when you worked at Big Three, back then it was Chrysler, GM, and Ford. Instead of Stellantis, it's now you know, with Chrysler, you know, they had pensions, they had good wages, they had all their benefits paid for. I mean, when you got a job at the big three and, you know, working in the factory, you lived a good life. You could live a good middle-class life. You could pay your bills, you know, and have a new car and keep food on the table, send your kids to school. That's not the case now. So corporate greed, once again, is taking away. Corporate greed has got to be, we have to do something about corporate greed. We just do. Like these people have these, you know, these executives have to understand that, you know, why are they worth millions of dollars, $29 million a year, $25 million a year, $27 million a year? Why are they worth that kind of money in 1 year? What do they do for that worth? If they didn't have their workers doing the actual physical labor and the job, they wouldn't have that money to have those good wages for themselves. That's how I look at it. So let them up high. Give it to your... give what's fair. Do what's right.
Yeah, and these CEOs for these companies make more money in half a day what all these workers make in a year. That's preposterous. That's vulture capitalism. That's rapacious.
Yeah,
you know, the working family, the working man and woman is the ones who build this country, the middle class and the working families. just cut them some bread, Give them some slack, you know? They are the people, the blue-collar workers, who make America great. Not these CEOs, not Wall Street, not these partisans on both sides who, you know, are beholden to their benefactors who contribute money to the campaigns. You know, it's the working-class man and woman and the middle class, you know?
And one other thing, guys, one other thing. They need to make it here in the United States, not in Mexico, not in China. It needs to be made here. And if they make it in a foreign country, they need to be taxed way more than what they would if they were here. Because, you know, the people in foreign countries make not even a third of what our people make. And, you know, they've been getting away with murder for a long time. And because the unions cut back on pensions, they moved it back to the United States. But now that the unions want to be paid a fair wage and health care and pensions that they have coming, like you said, you know, everybody's making a ton of money but them, we got to keep them from leaving because that's another thing they'll do. They'll just take off again.
You know, 5 years ago, when they did, when they the workers decided to take a standstill, they just froze everything, so the companies could be successful again. There was one girl that they interviewed, a young lady, and she has been working there for 5 years on this tiered system. That's unfair. She sacrificed 5 years so that Mary Barr could make $5,000 a minute?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Let's be fair here. That young lady and every other person that's on the tiered system, they sacrificed for the last 5 years. Get rid of that tiered system, and I can understand why that's a sticking point. And I commend their fellow brothers and sisters for sticking by them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is not just the big three. You know, this is not just, you know, the car makers. This affects the whole country because there are many workers that work in different factories and shops and, you know, all different places that are not making a fair wage. And you have to understand that if you want people to work for you, you have to treat them like you care if you want that. You know, like Starbucks, and I've talked about them before. I've seen, you know, Starbucks, and they have a fit every time they want to, you know, start a union. Starbucks has a fit. Well, too bad. Then treat your, then if there's a reason that they want a union, because they don't feel safe there. They don't feel protected there. They don't get the wages there. So a union will protect them. That's how they feel. So there's nothing wrong with that. And everyone deserves a living wage. Everyone does.
And corporate greed is ruining everything. Like before the COVID started, remember all the masks and medicine was made in foreign countries because they make it for nothing. And then they turn around and charge, you know, 1,000 times more than what they pay, you know, cost to make it. And something's got to be done with that because then they keep their money offshore, too. We got to go after the corporate greed and the offshore accounts. Or this is never going to stop.
No.
Right,
but
because
of course,
what is the American
Congress
card?
Is paid off by the company, so I don't know if it'll ever change.
You know, but when they say American cars, you know, they outsource these jobs and build them in Canada, Mexico, Costa Rica, you know, so it's not really made in America. You get what I'm saying? And as Susan said, offshore banking, Swiss bank accounts, Cayman bank accounts and everything. And that's why Joe Biden wanted to give IRS more than $8 billion to expand their horizon in terms of getting more agents going out there, going after people, rich individuals and corporations who never pay taxes. Or you know, and the Republicans fought tooth and nail against that. They were supposed to get more than $8 billion to the IRS, but because of Republicans and people like Joe Manchin and Kirsten Sinema, who's running an independent now in Arizona, you know, that money was drastically reduced, you know? And I just hope that in 2024, the American people wake up and say that Republicans are not for them. They're not for the people. They're not for democracy. They're for what the corporations tell them to do, because corporations are the very ones who put money in their coffers to run for re-election. And either after they get defeated at the polls or they choose to retire, you know, they have a big retirement plan, dental care, health care, what have you, a pension for life. And then in turn, the revolving door is where these corporations who, when you're a congressman or a woman or a U.S. senator, you did the bidding of these people, they turn back around now, the revolving door, and give you a cushy job that pay you millions a year. You know, a lobbyist job. So, you know, we'll have to cut things out like that because it don't serve the interests of democracy or the people of the United States. I say it once, I say it a million times. People probably hear tired of me saying this, but the people of America deserve better than what we have now. And as Yvette said, in Southern California, it's not only Republicans, but Democrats have this problem where they're beholden to super PAC money, dark money. You don't know where the money coming from. And, you know, do as I say. And if you don't, then, you know, you're the primary challenge. When did this democracy go to hell like that? When the Supreme Court, you know, made that decision on Citizens United. And unless we can, you know, turn around that decision, God knows when that will happen. You know, it's just going to get worse and worse. America deserves better. The American people deserve better. And we're going to do better after 2024 because if and when Democrats win the Congress and the White House, please make it happen, Joe Biden and Democrats, where you expand the Supreme Court from 9 to 15 and have a supermajority in the U.S. Senate, God willing, and just expand the Supreme Court.
And Biden did the CHIPS Act. Biden did the CHIPS Act because the Chinese were cutting us off. And they couldn't have chips for their cars and everything else we have. And he did the CHIPS Act and started factories right on, I mean, immediately. And, you know, thank God, you know. But that's, you know, we caught them in, you know, their outsourcing. They cut their own throat. And he fixed
it. And give the CHIPS Act a decade to work and really kick in. And we won't need China anymore. So, you know, thank goodness for the CHIPS Act. Joe Biden did a good thing in signing that law into law.
I think voter better have a little bit of restraint. We have got a mess, and it was created by Trump. And Biden has turned around, I would say, about 70% of it. 70% of the mess. We have another 30% to turn around, plus the other things that the Republicans never did. We need some time to get this country turned around. It's not going to be done in a day. There's a lot going on, and there's a lot wrong. But one of the things the independent voter can take to the bank, we liberals, we Democrats, when our people sour, we throw them out.
Yep.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so Tim Scott and Nikki Haley attack union as UAW strike threatens to escalate ahead of GOP debate that's coming up. And, you know, kudos to Joe Biden, the President of the United States, for picketing with the UAW auto workers on strike. And I hope Bill Clinton and Barack Obama and former presidents who are Democrats do join the picket as well, because, you know, Democrats, you know, they don't want to speak words, but they put them in action. You know, unlike Republicans, who all know who they are, we're not going to go through the names and everything. And this idiot Tim Scott, who runs for president, you know, he's a race traitor. Let's call a spade. He's a race traitor. How can you, as a black man in South Carolina, the South, you know, be a goddamn Republican? But that's a topic for a next show and everything. So let's talk about Tim Scott for a while and Nikki Haley, stupid Nikki Haley. I'm not attacking her because she's a woman. She's just stupid. What do you think about those two candidates? Zero chance in becoming a Republican nominee for 2024. We have limited time. Go ahead, Lori.
Let's just talk about, first of all, what Tim Scott said. He said on Monday that striking workers should be fired, saying he would emulate President Ronald Reagan, who terminated more than 11,000 striking air controllers. Remember that? Traffic controllers. Ronald Reagan, and I quote what he said, Ronald Reagan gave us a great example when federal employees decided they were going to strike. Scott told voters during an event in Fort Dodge, Indiana. He said, you strike, you're fired. Simple concept to me. To the extent that we can use that once again, absolutely. So in other words, he's basically telling people, if you don't like your wages, if you don't like that you don't have a pension, if you don't make enough money to eat, if you don't have enough gas for your car, and if you want to strike, you're fired. So it doesn't matter what you want. That's basically what he's saying. He's disgusting. He's disgusting. And then there's Nikki Haley. Then there's Nikki Haley. And she said on Tuesday, this is what she said. She says, I was a union buster, pointing to her record of recruiting foreign car manufacturers such as Mercedes-Benz and Volvo to the Palmetto State. I didn't want to bring in companies that were unionized simply because I didn't want to have that change the environment in our state, Haley said during her interview with Fox News. Haley said President Joe Biden had emboldened the UAW by proclaiming he is the most pro-union president in American history, and he is. She said the striking auto workers demand a 40% pay raise will drive up prices. We're all going to suffer from this, Haley said. Oh, please. These people make me want to vomit. And they will not get 40% pay raise. You aim high, you ask for more, and then you negotiate. They're not going to get 40%. We all know.
And what are the CEOs going to give up? Nothing. And what is the stockbrokers going to get? The billions. They're not going to give up shit. Yeah.
To begin with, that's not a true 40%. That is spread out throughout the whole contract.
Yeah, it is
5 years.
It's not a true 40%.
No, it's not. You're right. Absolutely. So, but the thing is that Nikki Haley and Scott, Tim Scott, first of all, he would fire everybody? And who are you going to hire? Really? I mean, does this man have any logic in his brain?
No.
Any at all?
No, he's a Republican. He's a Republican, no.
They would be mimicking their boss when he was on TV in the reality show, You're Fired.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think they're both mimicking their boss, Donald J. Trump, and he's not president.
Nope, he's not.
Exactly.
I don't.
Exactly.
Who does he think he's impressing when he says they would all be fired? Who does he think he's impressing? People that work for a living? Is that who he's impressing?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense. It's not even logical to say something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He should be ashamed of himself.
Well, Tim Scott
is not logical.
Oh,
he's looking
for
donors from the big corporations. That's all he's looking for.
Tim Scott has never made sense. John James in Michigan, the congressman in District 10, makes no sense. They're black. They're Republican. Every system that's been there, affirmative action and what have you, you name it, that helped them, and Clarence Thomas, they literally turned their backs on helping other people of minority to come up. You know, so they're Uncle Tom Negroes. I'm a black man. I can say that you all can't say that, but I'm going to call a spade a spade. They're Uncle Toms.
Mm-hmm.
They're Uncle Ruckuses. Mm-hmm. They are no good to anybody, and white people are using them. Look on Clarence Thomas, where he has cases of people who have, issues in front of the Supreme Court. But what does Clarence Thomas do? He takes money, and he takes expensive, lavish vacations on yachts and different expensive hotels and what have you, and don't declare it. You know? No, if that's not a conflict of interest and corruption of the highest order, you know, tuition paid for his nephews. You know, Jesus Christ, man. You know, that's bribery. You know, he should resign. Integrity states, you know, it should be common sense, resign. You know, but no. You know, Uncle Tom, Uncle Thomas, Uncle Tom, have to stay on the Supreme Court to do the bidding of right-wing, you know, garbage that's destroying the country. It's like, yep. some voters never learn. And, you know, as Elaine said and other people say, independent voters, weigh your options. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Democrats are perfect, but Republicans are far from perfect. They don't have the interest of America or democracy in there.
No.
You know, at least Democrats are trying to say, hey, let's mm-hmm. try to make America better by doing this, by protecting women's health, by protecting immigrants, by protecting, you know, voting rights, what have you. No, Republicans are against that. And as Yvette called earlier and asked, what are Republicans, what do they stand for? For years now, they haven't stand for anything other than taking away Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, what have you. You know, these people are just evil sons of bitches who need to be voted out of yep. office. Once and for all, let's teach them a lesson. If you think 1964 LBJ victory or 1980 Ronald Reagan victory was anything, remember I said this. Joe Biden is going to sweep whoever the Republican nominee is in 2024. And I look forward to that night because Republicans stand for nothing. At least Democrats are trying. You know?
Yes, they're trying. They're not perfect, but they're trying. They are trying. Mm-hmm. Just one last footnote. After that speech that Tim Scott made about firing, you know, the union employees that, you know, are striking, the president of the labor union, Sean Fain, he's the president of the UAW. He filed a complaint claiming that utterance violated federal labor law. Under the National Labor Relations Act, anyone can file a charge against an employer, even if they do not work for that employer. So the complaint accuses Scott of violating the section of the NLRA that lays out employees' rights to participate in labor actions. Within the past 6 months, the employer has interfered with, restrained, or coerced employees in exercise of the rights guaranteed in Section 7 of the Act. So in other words, he's going to be going to court pretty soon in front of a labor board, a labor relations board. So there you go, Tim Scott. Thank you, Sean Fain. Love him. I really do.
He's been great. He has been really great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is a true leader. A true leader. There's no joke. He is a true leader. He's smart. He's passionate. He's a true leader. He absolutely is. He deserves he's doing a great job.
Yeah. And on that note, ladies.
Go ahead.
Yeah, on that note, we'll have to end it because we're running out of time quickly. I want to thank Yvette from Southern California. First time caller for calling in. We appreciated what you had to say tonight. And hopefully other people from California and all the country call in, listen, you know, make your comments, join our Facebook page and, you know, share our community page on Facebook. And go to our website, kitchenpolitics123.com. We're going to have merchandise up and running soon on sale. And we'll have some blog articles. And more blog articles will come along as well. I want to thank Elaine and Susan for calling in as well. And also Lynn Marie from New Mexico for making that contribution when Yvette was online. So until next time, tomorrow night, same time, same place, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time. This has been Kitchen Politics 123 for Sunday, September 24th, 2023. Topic, Season 5, Episode 35, Reality is Stranger Than Fiction. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan, and we are the Democracy Defenders. Have a good night, and we'll see you tomorrow evening. Bye now.
Yes, I will leave you the final word from George Orwell and Bob Marley, and Wailers would play us out with No Woman Will Cry.
By the time Orwell married Sonia Brownell, 1984 was written, after which he would never leave his bed again. But he left one final warning. 1984 is, I believe, a quite terrifying masterpiece. So
so terrifying, in fact, I don't think I should like to read another like it.
I'm not absolutely dissatisfied with it. I think it is a good idea, but the execution would have been better if I had not been under the influence of TB when I wrote it.
You once claimed that you have an ability to face unpleasant facts. Is that what you demonstrated in 1984 by drawing an accurate portrait of the future?
I think that allowing for the book being, after all, a parody, something like 1984 could actually happen. This is the direction the world is going in at the present time. In our world, there will be no emotions except fear, rage, triumph, and self-abasement. The sex instinct will be eradicated. We shall abolish the orgasm. There will be no loyalty except loyalty to the party. But always, there will be the intoxication of power. Always, at every moment, there will be the thrill of victory, the sensation of trampling on an enemy who is helpless. If you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever. The moral to be drawn from this dangerous nightmare situation is a simple one. Don't let it happen. It depends on you.
Thank you.
Thank you.